Well, good morning. So we've come to the end of our series on the Sermon on the Mount. It's going to take us 2 weeks to finish this week and Chris Conway next week. But we've come to the end of the content of the sermon. And I was having lunch with a friend a couple of weeks ago, and he said, so what are we going to do next? And he had this idea. He said, you know what we should do? We should just go through it again. And I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good idea, because it sort of represents this idea that when you get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, you realize we're not finished. There's something we need to do to keep going. And in fact, as we come to the end today, Jesus is going to make a passionate plea to us about what we should do next, what's next. We're going to see how he wants us to respond, what he wants us to do at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And it all has to do with a gate. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13. If you have a Bible, you can turn there, or you can follow along here on the screen. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Okay, so let's keep track today of the fact that Jesus doesn't just say these words out of the blue. He says them at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And so somehow what he says here is connected to everything that he has said before. And this is his plea to us. And it begins with this phrase, enter through the narrow gate. But the last line there tells us what this passage today is all about, and it's about life. Life. The great life that Jesus offers. That begins now and extends throughout your future, even into the next life. But it begins with a command. Enter through the narrow gate. It's a plea. It's a charge. Enter through the gate. And he defines it as a narrow gate. There's another gate, he says, to be sure. There's another gate. It's wide. There's a broad road connected to it. And that road, that gate, it leads to destruction. So there's two gates. Don't go through this one gate, but make sure you go through this other gate, the narrow gate. So to have the life that's mentioned at the end, to be a part of the great life that Jesus offers, it begins with this command to enter the gate. And the gate is described as narrow, not because it's somehow difficult or hard. It's not narrow because it's hidden. It's narrow because it takes some noticing. You've got this narrow gate that leads to life and this big, broad gate that leads to destruction. And Jesus says, listen, pay attention and enter through the right gate. The gate's narrow. You won't accidentally find your way on that road through that gate. It won't happen accidentally because it's narrow. You have to look for it. You don't just end up on it accidentally. Okay, so when you travel, are you an interstate person or a backroads person? Oh, I see. You've had that conversation in the car, right? Yeah, one of you says, we're taking the interstate no matter what. And the other says, I see this road. It looks kind of interesting, right? Me, personally, I'm a committed follower of Waze. You know what Waze is? Yeah, Waze is a navigation app. And so, I mean, I could be driving from my house to church, and I bring up Waze, and Anna's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what if there's an accident? It'll tell me where to go. I love that thing. And the other thing is, I will go wherever it tells me. Yeah. And so that has resulted in finding some pretty interesting roads that I'd never been on before. But what's cool is you get to the end and you've arrived at your destination a half an hour before your friends because you took the right road. That's kind of what Jesus is talking about. The gate that leads to life, it's narrow, it's not shiny, it's not obvious. Jesus says you got to look for it. And at the end, in verse 14, he says it's small, it's narrow, and only a few find it. It's not the popular gate. It's not the direction that everybody else wants to go. And so if you're not careful, you'll find yourself just going where everybody else wants to go, and you'll miss the good gate, the narrow gate, the small gate, because it's not popular. Only a few find it, not because God wants a few to find it. God wants everyone to find it. But a few find it because not everyone looks for it. And just to be clear, the gate is Jesus. We studied the Gospel of John this last year, and we saw that Jesus makes several statements about himself, I am statements. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world. And one of the things he says in John chapter 10 is this, I am the gate. And whoever enters through me will be saved. It's the gate to life. They'll come in, go out, and find pasture. He was talking about life and the destination of being a beautiful pasture, a restful, wonderful place for sheep. But make no mistake, Jesus says, when we're talking about this gate, this small gate, this narrow gate, the one not everybody sees or wants to find, the gate is me. And as we've seen, this gate, there's also a road connected to it. And Jesus isn't being super precise about theological concepts here, but he does want you to see this, that there's a gate and there's a road. The gate connects to a road. And the image of the gate gives us that picture of something you enter, right? A gate is something you go through. The road gives us the image of a path, of a journey, of a continued walk, right? Jesus says, I'm the gate. You enter into life through me. And he says, there's also a road that that leads to. Now remember, when did he say this? At the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus laying out this lifetime, this path, this road of discipleship, of what it means to follow Jesus. There's a gate and there's a road. And it leads to life. That's what the end of the verse says. It leads to life, and life here means eternal life. Sometimes in the church, when we talk about eternal life, all we focus on is, you know, life after you die, which is important, and it includes that. But let me tell you something. Eternal life begins the moment you enter the gate and get on the road. A continuing, growing closeness and relationship with God that he wants to have with you. It's not just the next life. It's not just a future life, but it's a life that you can have with God now. A life of participating in his kingdom. I like to call it the life. And this gate, Jesus, this road, walking with him, lead to that life. There's a gate. It involves a moment, or for you, it might be a series of moments of decision, of faith, of believing that Jesus is the gate. But it also involves a lifetime of following. So make sure you're on the road. Make sure you've come through the gate to the right road that leads to life. As we've seen, there's another road. And it leads to destruction. And it's attractive and shiny, and a lot of people do it. Okay, how many of you have been to Rocky Mountain National Park? Okay, in Colorado, I get a lot better response to that. Rocky Mountain National Park. Awesome national park. One of the great features of Rocky Mountain National Park is Trail Ridge Road. It's the highest continuous highway in the United States. You drive on this road from one end of the national park to the other, and you drive over 13,000 feet in the air, and it's awesome. You get on this road, and it takes you to some of the most beautiful vistas, the best destination that you could possibly imagine. But it's a narrow road. I mean, you got to watch what you're doing. And we've driven that road several times, and every time we drive on that road, I see the most amazing thing. People who've pulled over. They're on this narrow little road that's leading to this awesome destination, and they've stopped, and they've gotten out, and they've climbed over the guardrail. And usually it's because there's some elk or there's a sheep, there's something out there, and they decide they want to see it. And when one stops, another stops, and pretty soon there's a whole line of cars, and these people are doing the craziest thing. They're out on the tundra. And at any moment, they don't realize they could just slide right down. It's not a zoo. And so I think about that when I'm on that road, that's what Jesus is saying. Listen, there's a way that looks good, but man, that will lead you to destruction. You make sure you've come through the gate. You've got to look for it. It's narrow, but you want to make sure you get on the right road. Enter the gate. Embark on the road that leads to life. Now, one of the most amazing things I've seen in nature, it also happened in Colorado some years ago, and I was on this road, dirt road, farm road, out in the country, barbed wire, nothing but barbed wire running along the side of the road. And I happened to be on this road. It was about this time of year when I saw this dust cloud. There's all this ruckus, and pretty soon I realized there is a herd of elk running this way. Yeah, something spooked them. Probably other people like me on these roads, right? And it's about 30 or 40 animals. It's all cows, all females, and they are just making a beeline, and they've intersected with this road, and they are on this road. When all of a sudden, the most amazing thing I've ever seen, the lead cow, every herd of cows, elk, they have a lead cow. She's the one who decides where we're going and what we're doing. She's in charge. And they're going down this road, this herd, maybe 40 animals. They're going fast down this road, and all of a sudden, she turns right into the barbed wire fence. And I'm thinking, what is she going to do? That's crazy. When all of a sudden, right when she gets to the fence, she goes under it. There was a little depression in the ground. I didn't see it. I wouldn't have known it was there. She goes under. And one by one after her, the rest of the herd, they go under this barbed wire fence, gate. And it takes a while because there's a bunch of them. And so the ones that are kind of standing and milling around the road, the younger ones, they just start to go down the road. And the lead cow, she's on the other side, and she stamps her foot. You need to go through this gate. You need to get through this opening. And then off they go on this road. It's a road that I didn't even know was there. It was a path. Up through the hills, into the mountains, into the timber, to life. And that's what Jesus is saying. Get through the gate. There's a gate. And if you don't look for it, you might not know it's there. It isn't going to be the road that your friends all want to go on, but find it because it leads to life. Don't keep going down the other road. Find it. Enter it. Make sure you get through. Come to me, Jesus says. Follow me. There's life. Well, once you're on the road, Jesus is going to say something else. Now that you've taken his urgent plea to get on the road, through the gate, follow him, he says, once you're on the road, watch out. Verse 15, watch out. for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. When you get on this road, there's going to be people who want to take you off the road. That's what he's saying. In their culture, they called them false prophets. The Jewish nation, their religious life, they were used to having prophets, people that spoke for God and guided them, called them to repentance, led them in the way they should go. And so a false prophet was somebody who claimed to speak for God, claimed to point the way to God, but their character, but their intent, but their real desire, they weren't honest. They were after something else. And so Jesus says, you're going to be on this road, and there's going to be people who claim to help you, and they're going to knock you off. And they come as sheep, he says. They look good and nice and friendly, but really they're wolves. They're disguised. And they'll devour you. They'll distract you. They'll lead you off the path. You have to watch out because they are disguised. Now, not all disguises work the same. A week ago Friday, we had a block party here. Anybody come to the block party? It was awesome. A million people here having a great time. My favorite story, though, that came out of the block party was when one of our guys who's kind of in charge of our security detail, I don't want to give it away, we'll just call him Tony, okay? he says to Mandy, Pastor Mandy, who was in charge of the whole event, she points to these two guys who are sitting at a table and says, do you know them? And I think Mandy said, yeah, I know them, but they're disguised, they're dressed up, they're in costume, and Tony says, well, we're keeping an eye on him. That one's got a machete. That one's got a bow and arrow. We're watching him. And Mandy then says, well, that's Paul. He's an elder. That's Dave. His wife is an elder. But they were disguised, right? Jesus is saying it works the opposite sometimes, that they're disguised nicely, but underneath, you can't trust them, and please don't follow them. And so you say, well, if I'm on this road to life, and there's people who want to knock me off the road, but they're disguised, how will I know? How will I recognize them? And Jesus changes metaphors to explain that to you. In verse 16, he says, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. By their fruit. By the produce of their lives, you'll know. You'll recognize by their fruit. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? This is a common picture of Jesus to say, listen, you can tell the character of a tree by the kind of fruit it produces. Right? Verse 17. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. We have these two grapefruit trees in our backyard, and they're right next to each other. They look exactly alike. And they both produce this beautiful looking fruit. And if you take a grapefruit from the one tree, the one on the left, and you cut it open, it's heaven. You just take a spoon and start eating it, sweet and delicious. But if you take a grapefruit from this other tree, it looks the same, but you cut that open, it's awful. It's rotten, sour fruit. Bad tree. That's what Jesus is saying. Trees can look alike. The way you know you've got a bad tree is you open the fruit. You check the fruit. And so when people claim to speak for God, or when they claim to teach you about God or show you the way to God, but you pull back the curtains a little bit and you see that their lives are characterized by, well, maybe by greed. What they really want is greed or control or notoriety. What you really see their lives characterized by is anger or fear. That's what they're trying to produce. Then you know you've got a bad tree. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul told us, was love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. That's the fruit that you look for. And watch out for those who don't have that kind of fruit. They'll knock you off the road. So just examine the fruit of the life. Watch out while you're on this road. Thus, by their fruit, Jesus said in verse 20, you will recognize them. So watch out for those who will lead you off the road. There needs to be a healthy connection between what they say, what people proclaim, the direction that they lead, and their lives, their character, who they are. And Jesus goes on to make a little more explicit in this passage this truth that a profession of faith and a life that is lived, they have to match. Because look what verse 21 says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Wait, what? What did he say? I like to imagine the way Jesus says things. I think he probably just dropped this one in casually. You know, by the way, not everyone who's all, Lord, Lord, not everyone's entering the kingdom of heaven. And I'm sure the people listening to that went, wait, what? Yeah, Jesus says, not everyone who says, I am their Lord, not everyone who calls me Lord, not everyone who professes faith in me, you know what, they're not all getting in the kingdom of heaven. Now, that'll keep you up nights if you're not careful. But he explains it. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not enough to say Jesus is Lord. It's not enough to say Lord, Lord. Also, you have to do the will of God. In other words, there has to be this healthy connection between what you say and what your life shows. What you believe will reflect itself ultimately in the way that you live. So it's not enough to say, it's not enough to profess faith in Jesus, it's not enough to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, but that person who says that also, it's not either or, that person also needs to do the will of God. The person who enters the kingdom of heaven says, Lord, Lord, and seeks to do the will of God. There's this connection. There's a gate, remember? There's a road. Well, how can I ever know the will of God? This is the part that might keep you up late, right? How do I know the will of God? And remember, when Jesus said this, he says this at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. The will of God is simply what God wants. And Jesus has been laying out for us in this sermon what God wants, right? He wants us to pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. In the heart, in the middle of that prayer is that phrase, your will be done. Start there. Start with an earnest and an honest desire that God's will be done. Love your enemies, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Pray for those who persecute you. Don't serve money, serve God. Don't worry about your life, trust God. Don't refuse the one who asks, give to the one who asks of you. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Move away from lust into purity. Don't murder, but also don't hate. Over and over again, he lays out in the Sermon on the Mount, this is what God wants. This is how he wants you to live. Start here. Take that into your life. And listen, it won't be perfect, but it's a path. It's a journey. There are going to be days and there are going to be times, there might even be seasons in your life where the will of God and the way he wants you to live, the way it's described on the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't seem like your chief interest, but it's a trajectory. And Jesus says, if you believe me the way you say that you do, you'll be interested in this. You'll be pursuing this. You'll be on the road. And before we go too far thinking that, you know, our relationship with God is all defined on by what we do, or that's somehow how we earn God's favor, notice the explanation that Jesus gives in verse 22 of what he just said. Yeah, I'm sure they're all looking at him going, are you serious? What does this mean? And he says, okay, let me say it again. Many will say to me on that day is the day of judgment. the day when we all stand before God and give an account for our lives. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. I mean, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. Away from me. Away from me, you evildoers. So in verse 21, he says, it's not enough to say, Lord, Lord. You have to do the will of God. Here he says, a lot of people are going to say, Lord, Lord, but I'm going to say I didn't know you. So there's this connection between doing the will of God and knowing Jesus, that's the basis, that's the foundation of your relationship with him. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, if you knew me, if we were friends, if you really believed me, you'd know that what I want, what I'm all about, is doing my Father's will, and that would matter to you. But when all you want is to do your religious activities, and you don't know me, you're connected to my will, then you're going to be away from me. What we believe works its way out in how we live. It's a trajectory. It isn't 100% pass-fail, right? There are going to be bumps. There are going to be failures. There are going to be backtracking moments. Sometimes you'll get off the road, but that'll matter to you. And when you get off the road, you come back to Jesus. In the New Testament, in the book of 1 John, John said it this way, listen, when we do sin, we have an advocate, we have a defender with the Father, Jesus. When we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just, he forgives us of all of our sins. That matters to us. If you have the kind of faith, if you've really entered the gate, if you're on the road, you may not love your enemies all the time, but you're moving in that direction. Because you know it's God's will. You don't have to constantly worry. That's not the point. Jesus isn't saying you ought to wake up every day worrying, am I on the road, off the road, on the road, off the road, in the kingdom, out of the kingdom. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you only have to worry if you've just got the words, but there's nothing in your life that shows you want to follow. There's no trajectory. There's no path. Don't be deceived. Words alone can't cut it. You don't have to wake up every morning wondering if you've done enough or done it well enough. You just have to ask Jesus today, what would you have me do? What's your will? So match your life with your mouth. Does that make sense? Match your life with your mouth. If you say, Lord, Lord, if he's your Lord, then do what he asks. Pattern your life after his. Read the Sermon on the Mount again. He's laid it out for you. Match your life with your mouth. Watch out for those who will knock you off the road. Enter the gate. Embark on the road that leads to life. This morning, the way we're going to close is I'm going to pray for us in a moment. The worship team, they're going to come back on the stage and they're going to lead us in a song. And after I pray, here's what I want to invite you to do. Let that song be an opportunity for you to express yourself to God. It's a new song, so you won't know it, but I don't want you to just sit and listen to it. I want you to enter into the song. Maybe you're here today and you need to enter the gate. Maybe you've never come to that place and acknowledged Jesus, that he's the gate, he's the way to God. Maybe just where you're sitting today, in your heart, you need to enter the gate. Maybe you've hung around the gate, you've entered the gate, you like Jesus, but you've never committed your life to following him. Maybe you've gotten off the road. Maybe you're going to find your way back to the road. Then while we pray and while we sing this song, will you use that as an opportunity in your heart? Express to God, I'm on the road. I want to be on the road. Finally, maybe as we've studied in the Sermon on the Mount and even today, there's something about God's will that has stuck out to you. There's a way that you know God is asking you to follow him. Maybe it has to do with loving your enemies. Maybe it has to do with giving to those in need. Maybe it has to do with your words and your speech. Maybe it has to do with your anger. And you want to use the song today to say, Jesus, today, I know this is your will for me. I'm going to follow. And as they lead us and as we participate in that heart, whether it's to go through the gate or enter the road or to do his will, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hearts to God. And we thought it'd be fun. We put the crosses down here. Sometimes when God is doing something in your heart and life, you want to express it tangibly. And so if you need a place to come, if you need a place to be, let the cross represent that. You don't have to, but we want to give you the opportunity that if there's something about the gate, about the road, about his will that's resonating in you, and you want to express that by coming, do that. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, today we're so amazed, so glad that there's a gate, that you're the gate, that there's life, eternal life, and we can come to you. And so, Jesus, today we just want to pray that. We just want to say thank you for the gate. Some of us recognize we need to enter the gate. We need to tell you that we believe you. And we recognize there's a road, and sometimes we've forgotten that, and we've not matched our mouths and our lives. And so today we come and we say we want to do that because we know that's the life. The life is hearing from you and trusting you and following you and growing in you. And we want that. So with glad hearts, willing hearts, we come to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.